Isn't it a beautiful day? Gosh, I just absolutely love it whenever it's sunny in the morning. It's just like, yes, it's going to be a great week. It's lovely to see all your faces. My name is John. I spoke here probably about 5 weeks ago or so. So for anyone who wasn't here, my name's John. I've been here for about 10 years now. I came and studied art at Falmouth 10 years ago. And Grace Church is the church that I've been at ever since. And it's a pleasure to be up here again. It's slightly short notice, so I feel a little less prepared this time, but I'm sure it will all be absolutely fine. We're going to be continuing our series. Oh, and I just want to say welcome to everyone on Zoom and also to any new people that we have. I hope you just feel really welcome this morning. We're going to be continuing our series on the subject of prayer. Do I need to do it round there? That did work 10 seconds ago. Oh, well, it seems that if you don't mind doing it. So we're continuing on this whole subject of prayer. We're at this season in the year, we are thinking about our prayer lives, reflecting on the practices that we are engaged with. How are we turning our eyes and hearts up to God? I wonder what your prayer life is like. Is it something that's full of vitality and energy? Is it more of sort of an ad hoc thing, a kind of the occasional prayer every now and then? I don't know. We all have kind of a different range of ways of doing it. Something that is quite interesting, I think, on the subject of prayer, I found that Tear Fund, the charity, they did a big study and found that 51% of people in the UK pray. I found that number actually surprising, actually. More than half of people in today's secular culture pray, despite only 9% of that society regularly attending church. So church isn't really the most fashionable thing, but praying absolutely is, actually. There's many people who pray, and particularly in times of crisis, the study said that 12% of people pray during leisure activities. And I wondered, what's that going to be? I sort of imagined being at a leisure centre, like swimming, like, oh, Father, who art in heaven, or something like that. Probably not swimming. Maybe golf. Bind it in Jesus' name, or something like that. So there are 12% of people pray during leisure activities. But the main point being is that actually more of us pray than not here in the UK. And so with reflecting on this subject in general, and we're being inspired by the person of Paul. Paul was a fantastic prayer. We see right the way through the New Testament many inspiring, rich, fully embodied prayers that he prays for his church. And today we're going to be looking at the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians was written to the church in Colossae, a really inspiring, energetic church that Paul was really stoked about. And the section that we're looking at, it includes kind of, I suppose it's like an introduction, but we're specifically thinking about what Paul prays, how he prays, and why he prays. So as we read this part of the Bible, think about those three things. What is he praying for? How is he praying? And lastly, why does he pray? So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going from 1 through to 14. I'll bring it up on the page here. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we pray, God, that you would please speak to us this morning. Help us, God, to be refreshed, reinvigorated, re-inspired to connect with you on a daily basis. Thank you, God, for the amazing possibility of connecting with you, the creator of all things, the King of Kings, the Lord of all. We have the opportunity to come into your presence at any moment. Lord, remind us of the sacred, amazing opportunity that we have. And I pray, Christ, that we would leave today feeling refreshed and inspired by your word. Amen. So, as we talk about prayer in general, I'm aware of the possibility of a sense of condemnation to kind of creep in. This feeling of I'm not really kind of doing as I should be. I could be kind of doing so much, but I don't want to. I don't feel inspired, and I suppose I feel slightly suspicious of those types of feelings. I feel like if the devil had any type of tactic to try to just persuade us against prayer, it would be to kind of make it feel like a drag and make it feel uninspiring. And in general, I feel like, you know, as much as possible, we want to try to connect kind of positive feeling to the practice. I'm quite inspired in general by kind of looking at productivity and things like that. And some authors talk about when you find a healthy habit that you want to introduce into your life, it's really important to link like positive feeling to those thoughts. So just be aware of any sense of condemnation, and we just want to get rid of that any of those feelings. We just want to get rid of it. We want to be refreshed, re-inspired, and reinvigorated by the amazing potential and possibility that God has for our lives. And so just as a way of framing that this morning, that's what we're focusing on. And we'll turn now to looking at what Paul was praying. Firstly, it's worth noting that Paul was praying these prayers, writing this letter in the context of prison. A couple of weeks ago, we had, I think it was a guy called Andrew speaking. He had an image of the type of prison it was, and it was not a comfortable context in the least. We've been watching Paddington constantly on repeat in our house. Paddington is always on in the background. And in Paddington 2, there's a prison scene, and it's a pretty fun prison. I mean, they're all dressed up in pink. They're all doing like a dance and singing together. This was not that type of prison. This was a prison by a government that was routinely engaged in the practice of crucifying people. So slightly more anxiety driving place for Paul, and yet it's interesting that the whole of this prayer is written in that context. And I suppose just straight away I wonder what personal prisons do we all find ourselves in general? What areas of lives, what areas of struggle are we dealing with? What areas of obstruction and difficulty do we find ourselves in? And it's just so inspiring, I think, to see how Paul's whole demeanour, how his approach to prayer is so vibrant and strong. So we'll turn firstly to looking at what Paul prays. So the content of his prayer, despite being in such a kind of a negative circumstance, it's interesting because firstly, his prayer isn't firstly focused on himself. He's focusing very much so on other people. We've noticed, I've just mentioned, that we see at the beginning, he says, "We always thank the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for God's people." He is really excited about this church. And so despite him being in pretty dire circumstances, his consciousness is he is thinking about what God is doing, and he's investing his prayers into that. And I suppose just straight away, it's interesting to kind of compare and contrast our prayers with Paul's prayers, because if I am praying for other people, it will often be for prayers for people who I think are really struggling. but Paul here is praying for people who are already doing really well. And I wonder, it's obviously not to say don't pray for those who are struggling, obviously not, but rather, you know, do you know any Christians who you find really inspiring? Are there any church people that you are really influenced by? And, you know, Paul is the type of person to invest more prayers. He's praying that they would be stronger, like better, like faster, that they would have more enriched lives, that they would grow in their character. So his whole prayer is focused on other people. He's not wallowing in his own circumstance, but he's investing in what God is already doing in the lives of the Colossians. He is also focusing, again, not on the external circumstances of this church, but rather in the development of the characters of these people. Whenever I pray, you know, I'll pray for other people, and I'll pray, broadly speaking, that Lord Jesus, oh God, please would you make their life better? That tends to be the general vibe. God, would you please make life more nice? Whereas Paul, on the other hand, he prays for four main things. He prays firstly that the Colossians, that they would grow in their character, that they would grow in wisdom and understanding of God's will, that they would become more deep in their relationship with God, and be more aware of who God is. He also prays that they would bear more fruit in their lives, that their lives would be exemplary morally, so that they would be, you know, shining lights in their community. That what they are doing, they would excel in the fruits of their lives. The exact phrasing is so that your life you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. He then prays for strength, and particularly strength that's with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience. You can see he's really praying for the transformation of the characters of these people. And it's interesting just that last one to do with that they would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that they would have more endurance and patience. I often don't really think of kind of patience and endurance as manifestations of strength and power. But here, Paul is praying that they would be strengthened in power so that they would endure, so that they would be more patient in their lives. And then finally, that they would grow in thanksgiving as well. Did I put that one up? Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, thanksgiving. That they would grow in giving joyful thanks to the Father. And isn't that like a wholesome idea? I think that there's a lot of content out there in general, nowadays about the importance of thankfulness, the importance of gratitude, being aware of the miracle of reality, focusing on God's riches and the blessings that we've been given. So, despite being in pretty kind of dire circumstances, Paul's prayers are focused on these Christians in Colossae who he is just really inspired by and excited about what they're doing. And he doesn't pray for their external circumstances. He prays that whatever is going on in their lives, that they would grow in wisdom and understanding of God's will, that they would bear fruit, and that they would grow in strength and endurance and patience, and that they would grow in thanksgiving as well. And I just feel like, isn't that an inspiring idea straight away? I feel pretty inspired, actually, just to pray for all of us right now, that we would grow in those areas. I don't know what's going on in your life, what type of personal prison you're in, what obstacles you are facing, but let's pray together that we would grow in those four areas. Let's just do that now. Heavenly Father, you know us, you know our lives, you know everything that's going on. And just like this church in Colossae, 2,000 years ago, they would have been getting on with their lives, the mundane things, facing obstacles, facing the difficulty of life. But Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that we would grow in knowledge and wisdom of your will for our lives. God, we pray that your Spirit would fill us, refresh us. God, we pray that our lives would grow and bear good fruit. God, I pray for this church that everyone here would grow in the strength by the power of your might, that we would have more endurance and patience, God. Make us robust. Make us be able to run the race with endurance. And Lord, grow our thankfulness, that we would be joyful and that we would, Lord, help us to see the blessings you've provided for us, the miracle of reality. Help us, God, to be overflowing with thankfulness. I pray that, God, for everyone here and this church. In Jesus' name, amen. So the subject, all of what he prays, it's not necessarily for their benefit, actually. Despite, there being many benefits to these things, the main reason is that the lives of those Christians in Colossae, they would live exemplary lives and that they would basically live up to the honour of and be worthy of Jesus. Next, we'll look at how Paul prays. Basically, I mean, I don't know, again, I wonder what the patterns of prayers that we all have. I think for the most part, in general, it seems that prayer kind of tends to be something that broadly we struggle at. We struggle at for many different reasons. Either we just don't do it at all, really, kind of say that we'll do it, but then don't really do it really at all. Or occasionally, kind of at a more ad hoc basis. For me, if I'm being honest, very often if I pray, it's dependent on whether I feel like it or not. I mean, there's different reasons, I think, why we find ourselves in this circumstance as modern Christians, whether it's that our minds have been kind of like we're just hooked on dopamine, like provided through Instagram and social media, or the autoplay feature on Netflix. I'll just do one more of whatever we're watching. We just can't get enough of that dopamine, and just to sit and pray is hardly very dopamine inducing. Or maybe it's productivity. Maybe I mean, for me, I want to feel like I'm achieving stuff, get things done. That's potentially like a little idol in my life. And when I pray, it doesn't really feel like I'm achieving much. And, you know, when we can compare and contrast our lives with our prayer lives, with that of Paul's, Paul basically is continuously praying. We see multiple times through the passage that we read, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our... So he says, we always thank God. We continually ask God. And then finally, I think, I can't remember which verse it is, but he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul is, he's persistent in his prayer. He's constant. He's committed. And the Oxford Dictionary says that persistency is continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action despite the difficulty or opposition. Paul is persistent in the way he prays. And it's inspiring. You know, I would love to live a life that depending, no matter what happens in life, through the ups and the downs, to have a prayer life that's constant, to have a life that's a prayer life that is persistent, that is committed. And I suppose it's we to briefly talk about like different ways to make that practical. I mean, 2 years ago, I found myself kind of basically feeling quite sort of spiritually dry. For anyone who knows me will know that I got really interested in apologetics, and well, apologetics means the intellectual defense of the faith, and I was like absolutely stoked on this stuff, watching loads of YouTube about it. But then after a while, it started to kind of feel like, great, like my Christian faith makes sense. Now what? And I just found that I desired intimate and like that sort of intimate and refreshing time with God. And I suppose whenever I came to church, I would be here for the worship, maybe more so than the talk. And it was during that time that I went on a bit of a journey, really, quite a long journey of exploring all different types of prayer and ways of engaging with God to kind of make it like more interesting and to make it fun. And I mentioned first of all, I think it's as we say, being aware will just reject any kind of negative feeling with it that comes along with this. But I think there are different things that we can do to make prayer more easy for us. And for me, I found that actually having a change of space was really helpful, like going to a place to pray rather than just kind of, I mean, on top of basically just doing it in normal life, but by intentionally going somewhere, it makes it like a special thing. I suppose I'm reminded of date night. Me and Anna recently have been having a couple of date nights. I'm a bit terrible, to be honest, at organizing it, but I did do a good one recently. We had a Chinese night. We got a red lantern. It made our flat look quite strange from the outside, I reckon. I just put some like red tissue paper over our lamp. Got some Chinese music on in the background and made Hui Xing Duck. And it was really special. It was a proper moment of, you know, romantic evening. And in the same way, obviously I'm chatting to Anna throughout the day, or, you know, we chat all the time. But to be able to have that special intimate moment with Anna, intentional time of connecting together, was really brilliant. It was really refreshing. And in the same way, I think prayer, we can do the same. It's brilliant to be talking to God as we go throughout the day, but to also have a moment of intimate, sacred, holy time with God, it makes it more intentional. It helps us to focus on what we're doing. And I have found that by going either into another room to do that, just helps make it a thing. Also, I mean, doing something such as lighting a candle, you know, Christ, the light of the world, the light that casts out the darkness, as you light that candle, it reminds me of the fact that Jesus is the light of everything. And so I'm changing the dynamic of the space. And also by changing my posture. So, I think that we are physical people. We're not just simply sort of brains, or in general we sort of focus a lot, don't we, on the kind of ideas and maybe the feelings of our faith, but we are physical human beings. So by engaging our bodies in what we're doing, all of these things help turn our consciousness and our focus towards God. So I'm all for, you know, hands out, hands together, like getting down on your knees. These things help us focus on God. And then finally, making it fun and personal. You know, whatever we do, and whatever type of prayer practice that we're engaged with, it's important to kind of be in it for the long run. Make it inspiring, make it engaging. And I've basically, you know, over these past 2 years, I was sort of just looking at all these different apps on the iPhone. I mean, you can obviously, this is just one way of doing it. Some people don't really want to bring technology into their prayer life. But a couple of apps that I found really helpful: this Pray As You Go. It's a type of prayer called Lectio Divina, and that's whenever it will read out a passage of the Bible. And the idea is that you kind of have to really imagine yourself in that space. Imagine the smell of when, you know, the smell of the area or the sand under your feet. Imagine what it was like to hear the words of, you know, the Sermon on the Mount or something such as that. It's also just quite a nice one, really, just to have on in the background. You know, sometimes we just stick that one on in the at breakfast time, and it's a nice one to have. Daily Prayer is the Common Book of Prayer. And this is a much more kind of structured approach, but I suppose sometimes I find that I'm, you know, scrambling for words sometimes. And to have words provided through can actually hold you up and help turn your focus towards God. And what's awesome about the Common Book of Prayer is that it's so dense in Scripture. You've got multiple Psalms, you've got a section of the Old Testament, a section of the New Testament, and I found that you kind of are praying through Scripture rather than just trying to kind of understand it or analyze it, but you're allowing Scripture to be part of your prayer. Hallo is another app. They've got lots of recorded prayers on there. And again, that's part of the reason for that one is again this Lectio Divina. It's really interesting. I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen I've forgotten the name of it, The Chosen. So the guy who plays Jesus, he's got a whole bunch of prayers on there, and he reads out the Scriptures, and you know, it just adds to their sense of it. Basically, whenever you listen to it, it sounds like Jesus himself is speaking the words to you. So I found those particular apps to be really helpful. And other people find, you know, journaling. By writing your prayers down, it makes it more robust. It makes it more of a thing. And I suppose, you know, everything that I'm talking about here is about basically being more intentional and more kind of, like, yeah, more intentional and choosing to intentionally engage in something. We obviously do that with all kinds of things in life. And I think we need to be aware that very often prayer has, you know, it's difficult, particularly at first. It's with the exploration of any new thing, you know, whether you're taking up a new hobby or a new sport or my brother is always finding hobbies, and he's always roping me into it. And the most recent one is weightlifting. I never thought I'd find myself doing weightlifting, but yeah, I'm into it now because of my brother. And at first, you know, it feels awkward. The weights are like, oh my gosh, I'm like a skinny, weedy guy trying to do weights. And it feels weird, and it hurts. But, you know, after a while, you find your groove. And after a while, you know, you adjust the weights so they're not too heavy. That's quite important. And you have to work at it. And then suddenly it's like, oh, wow, this is awesome. I can see why loads of people get really into this. And I think it's the same with prayer. You know, just because we definitely would have found it difficult, it doesn't mean that therefore it's not for you. It is possible to find a groove, to work out a way, to intentionally work out a prayer life and a pattern, a routine, whether it's going out for a walk, whether it's going to a separate room, whether it's using a journal, whether it's using apps, anything to help turn your vision and help us to come into communion with God. And these things, it basically takes intentionality. And, you know, it's almost like after a while, you learn to find that freedom within it. So there's some practical things. And then finally, we'll think about why Paul prays. Paul prays persistently. He prays in the highs and in the lows. He's sitting in prison. He's thinking about the inspiring Colossians, the Christians over there, and he's not focusing on the external circumstances. He's praying that those Christians would become more deep, more bold, that they would grow in their thankfulness, that they would grow in their knowledge and wisdom of God, that they would become more Christ-like. And Jesus is the embodiment of all of the things that Paul is praying for. Jesus lived a life that was fully in intimate relationship with God the Father. He knew God intimately, and he was filled with wisdom and knowledge. He lived a perfect life. Jesus lived a life that was filled with moral goodness. He never sinned, and he showed endurance right to the end. Christ is the example and our motivation for all of these things. And we see in this passage that Paul prays because his whole view is that God is involved in this adventure of bringing people to him. You know, it's interesting in the passage that I basically get the impression in, what was it? I think it's in verse 3 when he says that the gospel, we thank the God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring up from hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard the true message. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing here. So Paul sees himself on the front line of what God is doing in the whole world. It's a global movement. It's a worldwide phenomenon. And that's how his whole prayer life is framed. I suppose often when we think of just life in general, we think about, you know, there's times that we go to work, there's times when we're at home, there's times when we have fun times with friends. When Paul thinks about life, he's thinking about how the gospel is spreading throughout all of society, and he's investing in that. That is what frames his life. So his whole worldview is shaped by the fact that he's part of something much bigger than himself, this is the adventure that God has for him. It's an exciting adventure of what the Spirit is doing. The second reason why Paul prays is that in that moment he is connecting with his heavenly Father. You know, prayer isn't, we're not just connecting with some abstract force. It's not like Star Wars. It's not like God is distant, but rather prayer is a deeply intimate thing. Do you know and believe that God knows you totally? He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows your name. He knows your desires. He knows where you failed in life, and he knows where you've had victory. He knows the whole of you, and he loves you so deeply. God desires that intimacy with you, and prayer is an opportunity to come into close quarters with our Heavenly Father. And what an amazing idea, what an amazing idea that God, the creator of the universe, the great first cause of everything, he is also our Heavenly Father. He knows you and he absolutely loves you. And on top of that, he's gone to absolutely great lengths to draw you to him. As the third, and that links to the third point, we see in that in the last passage that we read that he says that he is praying to not only his Father, but he is praying to his Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. When we connect with God, when we pray, we're not only praying to our Heavenly Father, we are praying to the Redeemer. We're praying to the God who has lifted us up out of the mire. Prayer isn't like a ladder where we are climbing up to God. God has already descended down. In the person of Jesus, he has walked and dwelt among the earth, among us, here on earth. And at his whole life was a life lived out among the broken people. But he comes down to us. And at the cross, he's dealt with everything that would be an obstacle. There's nothing that can separate us, nothing under earth, on earth, or above earth that can separate us from the love that is our inheritance through Jesus. Jesus has come to us. God has come to us. And so as we pray, we are praying to God who has redeemed us from all sin and all brokenness. What an inspiring idea that as we pray, we are participating in the much wider context of what God is doing on earth, namely his kingdom breaking in to the hearts and minds of people around us. We are connecting with our Heavenly Father in an intimate way. God knows us, he loves us, and he loves us so much that he has redeemed us. We are connecting with God, our Father, who has redeemed us out of all brokenness, out of all sin. He lifts us up. And, you know, isn't it just a motivating idea that whatever is happening in our lives, whatever type of day that we've had, to give ourselves the opportunity to turn our eyes and hearts to those realities that Christ has come, that God's presence is an ever-present reality. When you pray, God hears you. He hears the whispers of your heart. He hears your prayers in the silence. And let's take the opportunity to recommit ourselves to fully like refreshed and vibrant spiritual lives where we are turning our focus to God. There's no need to feel, you know, God's graces are new every morning. So whenever we don't achieve these things, we fall in the net of his grace. And as I've mentioned, Jesus is the whole embodiment of this perfect life. We look to Christ as our inspiration. He lived a life that was filled with knowledge and wisdom. He lived a perfect life that bore fruit, and he endured to the end with thankfulness. I'll pray as a way of concluding. Thank you, God, for the fact that you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you that you are intimate, that you are here with us, that you know us, that you know every aspect of our lives, and yet you love us so deeply. Thank you, God, that you are acting out, you are sort of spreading out into reality, and you are reaching out to the unknown Lord, we want to join in the adventure that you have. We want to participate in the same way that Paul sees himself as participating in the adventure that you have. God, help us to be on the front line, on the spiritual front line, investing in other people, investing in our own lives. Help us, God, to grow in our characters, to be transformed, that we would know you more deeply and grow in wisdom, to grow in endurance, and to, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would feel refreshed, inspired, and help us, God, to work at it, to find things that work for us, whether it's, you know, all of all the different examples we've explored. And finally, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are our Redeemer. Thank you, God, that you have redeemed us out of the mire. Thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You have brought us into the kingdom of the Son, you love, and that you have redeemed us and forgiven us for everything that is wrong. God, what an amazing reality. Lord, remind us of that and help us, God, to remind ourselves of that in our normal day-to-day life. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.